Grace and mercy be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Sermon text is the latter part of the epistle reading for today. I've always been struck by that particular passage. James chapter 2, if you have the epistle reading or you have your mercy folder in front of you, that you'll have all the text. James 2, the verses are 14 to 17 and also 26. And I'll read that part again. The theme, by the way, is love that shows. Love that shows. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has not works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is ill-clad and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what does it profit? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. This is our text. Dear people of God, picture this, if you will. People praying, assembled together in a house of worship. All heads are bowed. Everybody is quiet, except for the voice of the one praying aloud. The prayer sounds sincere. There seems to be a great concern for people who are hungry and are lacking clothing and shelter. Some are local people and they are even named. Dear Lord, we earnestly petition you to provide for these poor, needy souls. Give them bread to strengthen their bodies, clothing to keep them warm, and a roof over their heads. You are a God who can do all things. Show them your divine favor for Jesus' sake. Let them, Lord, be filled and warm, safe from the storms. Is there anything wrong with this prayer? Yes, no. There's not a catch to it. No, there isn't. It's a good prayer. It's a proper prayer. Is a request like this in accord with God's will? Of course it is. Now let's watch the people. Okay? Prayer time is over and the benediction is spoken. The people rise and they greet one another and begin to leave God's house. And God enables us to see everyone as they go their way. Several families go home. Several people leave town right away. One family with children goes to a campground. A few gather at a park for a game. Two young men go to a shop to work on a sports car that they're getting ready to race. Fishing and a workout at an exercise gym occupy a couple more. Of those who went home, some are eating, some napping, some working on hobbies. A few are watching TV or a DVD. One then goes to visit friends and another goes and makes a hospital call. Well, we marvel as we watch because only hours earlier, all had prayed together, Lord, provide for those poor, needy souls. And yet, the hungry remain hungry, though those who prayed had, for the most part, had something to eat following worship. The ill-clad had nothing more to wear than when the day began, and they were still exposed to the elements. The hours pass, the day ends, and the needy are still in need. By now, the worshipers have eaten again. Monday comes, and individuals and families are caught up in work, in school, chores at home, leisure time activities, and so on. At dinner, thanks is given for food, but there's no mention of those who are hungry. Already, one day after all of God's people prayed together for their needy neighbors to be warmed and filled, They seem to have been forgotten. Well, the week progresses. Tuesday, the same thing. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the same. Not another prayer is spoken, not a finger is lifted to provide for the needs of those who had nothing. We think, Saturday, most will have a day off and now they will go to the needy. Again, we watch closely. But instead of going to a grocery store or to the freezer or to a clothing store or to the closet, we are astonished to witness another kind of preparation. Some cars and campers are being loaded, all right. Food and clothing are being assembled. Lo and behold, the worst of our fears are confirmed. Several of the people who prayed for the needy, people redeemed by the blood of Jesus, people who are members of the royal priesthood, are leaving town. Others we see shopping, cleaning house, sitting at the computer, and so on. You name it. What we don't see is anyone going to the poor as the outstretched hand of God. When the people were praying for God to help the poor, they missed the essential point of their own prayer. I think it's still a little bit loud. When I hear the feedback, then I know. Okay. To pray, Lord, feed the poor, one is really saying, Lord, show me the poor and help me to help them. The fact is, we are a part of the answer to our own prayers. You and I are God's outstretched hand of mercy. God doesn't reach down from heaven and give people food or provide their clothing. He calls upon us and he enables us to do that. 35 times in just the book of Proverbs, and that's only one of 66 writings, the poor are mentioned. For example, happy is the man who is kind to the poor, 14 verse 21. He who has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor, 22 verse 9. He who gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. 28 verse 27, and so on. Clearly, our Lord loves the poor just as much as any of the rest of us. And he wants them to have the basic necessities of life. I didn't say luxuries, necessities of life. So he provides for them by sending us to them. We who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ are chosen by the Heavenly Father to go to dear souls in need, both physical and spiritual, and share with them what we have, both food, clothing, and shelter, and the joy of salvation by the grace of God. Providing for the needy person's physical needs is often a door opener for witnessing to the love of Jesus to all people. Only a hypocrite would claim to love Jesus and refuse to give the needy what he needs to live. James' inspired words are telling us that if we don't provide for, and notice the language he uses brother or sister, members of the human family. That wording is in your text. If we don't provide for a brother or sister who is ill clad and in lack of daily food, then we have a dead faith.
Now we're getting to the heart of this whole thing. To say, that is to say that our faith will not save us. Now we need to soak that one up. That's serious. That is to say, our faith will not save us if it's dead. Now listen again to the question he poses. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has not works? Can his faith save him? Now this is a rhetorical question, of course. And the answer is, no, it cannot. He concludes, as we heard, so faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Verse 17. Statistically, the majority of Americans say, oh yes, I believe in God. The last number I saw was 79%. That has come down slightly. It was in the low 80s here a couple years ago. But what are they really saying? Does it mean that they have put their trust completely in Jesus to atone for their sins? Or does it mean that they simply believe there is a God? And I think it's the latter. Do they worship the one true God regularly, serve Him, tithe of their incomes, witness to His saving grace, study the Bible, and pray from the heart, all of which are commanded? Faith by itself without a loving, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, without obedience to the Heavenly Father, without loving one's neighbor, is dead. Dead. It is not a saving faith. It is futile. It is empty. It is even vain. Proof. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3, St. Paul. And then this summary also by Paul. So faith, hope, love abide. And help me finish this. But the greatest of these is love. Love. Following our text, James goes on to connect faith to good works. And good works means loving people enough to do something good for them. Faith is completed by works, he says. Now we can say it this way. Faith is shown to be alive by works of love. Love comes first. We love because God first loved us. Because Jesus died for our sins, we love Him. And because we are justified, that means declared innocent of sin, by the grace of God for the sake of Jesus' atoning sacrifice, we trust in Him. This means have faith in Him. So the faith that we have in Jesus is rooted in love. Faith is connected with love. Good works proceed from love, believing this is God's will. Now one more time, verse 26, right at the end of your text, James concludes, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. And he means that in a very literal sense. This means that the love is missing. In context, if one is not providing for the ill-clad and the hungry, or simply for anyone with a legitimate need, his faith is dead. It's not a living faith. It is not a saving faith. That means you don't go to heaven. When I say saving faith, one that gets you to heaven. The bottom line, love for the poor is lacking. and that is spiritually suicidal. Love is made manifest in works. By faith, on the other hand, cannot be seen. Faith makes his presence known by heartfelt repentance and trust in God, followed by good works or acts of love. Jesus himself pointed out in language that a child, small child, can understand, a tree is known by the fruit it bears. Just agreeing that there is a God, just an intellectual acceptance of the gospel, just going through the motions of worship, isn't enough to save anyone's soul. The truth of Scripture is that only a living faith saves, only a belief in God that responds to his love with loving deeds. In chapter 1, we find, still in James, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone says that he believes in Jesus Christ this morning, but refuses to do what the Spirit teaches us to do here, he is deceiving himself, and everybody else for that matter. Scripture repeatedly tells us to provide for our neighbor, a brother or sister, as we see here, because this is the way of love. This is God's way of answering our prayers for the poor. God shows his love for the needy, for the unsaved, through us. Through us. Even many unbelievers provide for the basic needs of the poor, right? We see this in the media, we see it in our communities. How much more should we, who bear the name of Christ, who were joined with him in holy baptism, strive to be at the forefront of the fight against poverty? To simply say to the needy, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, or to pray for them without following the prayer with action, is not the Christ-like way. This is not love. This is not the kind of faith that saves the soul. Good works don't save the soul either. But they do show that our faith is alive. And that's the faith that saves. What then can we do to please our Lord? First, love him and all people. Secondly, believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Surrender your lives to him in humble and willing service. By all means, pray for the needy, but follow the prayer with meaningful action. We can all be observant, keeping an eye out for people in need, and on an individual basis, give them what they need. If you know of a person or a family who is struggling to make ends meet, to meet their daily needs, share what you have. Go to the grocery store. Buy them a couple bags of groceries. Or if their clothing is ragged, buy them or give them some new clothing. And corporately, and this is something that I hope Grace will do when your new pastor gets here, he's going to have a lot of things. I got a whole list of suggestions, and this is one of them. Establish a fund. Figure out a way to get organized to the point that we can help by paying utility bills and rent and things like that, necessity, needful things. Now, we did this in a big way at Grace Lutheran Church in Osoyoos, British Columbia. We ran thousands of dollars through what we call the ERF, Emergency Relief Fund. We paid rent, we paid utilities, we bought food, we paid for gasoline. We helped people who had needs. And guess what? That congregation went from 40 people to 140 in worship in 3 years. See what happens? See how God blesses you when you do what's right, when you do his will? We can send contributions to the LCMF World Relief to help in the wake of hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, flooding, and other occurrences which leave brothers and sisters in need. Now, this is one way that Anita and I regularly do. And while we're helping the poor, keep in mind the greatest need of all, the salvation of their souls. In providing help for the body, we are also witnessing to the love of our God. We are showing that Jesus first loved us. Remember, when you pray for someone who needs food, we are actually asking God to send us to provide. We who confess Christ are His hand of mercy. We are the answer to our own prayers for the needy to be warmed and filled. Our love for our gracious Lord and for each other should be visible. It should be shown forth by good works. There cannot be saving faith without love, nor true love for God without faith. They're together. And genuine love and an abiding faith cannot be contained. We are compelled to do something for the needy. The soul redeemed by the blood of Christ is moved, is compelled to act, to do something. Every true child of God who has a living faith will have a love that shows. Today, this morning, we who are the temple of the Holy Spirit have a mission before us. We who have a living faith can be the answer to someone's prayer, someone's help in time of need. Be like Jesus. He loved the poor and the lame and the outcast and even his enemies. He simply wants us to do the same. Is that so hard to understand? Those among us who do have a living faith, and there are many, and have been caring for the poor, know the blessings that follow, and one day soon you will hear those most blessed words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master." In Jesus' name, amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through a living faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.